W4DJW.
W4DJW. Wow, N4ZLK.
Hey, Shane, what you up to?
I had a question, and it's just in jest, so don't take offense at it, but I thought it was funny. How is my signal on in my when I'm working at night, when I come into the net? I'm just curious how the signal is.
I don't notice any discernible difference from when you're, like, talking right now. It's about the same. I mean, it's not, nothing stands out about it. It's really good. Like, right now, you're full-scale, full-quieting. Sounds great.
Well, pardon, Jess. I thought it was funny. Of course, it's a different radio than what I'm talking on now, obviously. But Friday night, you called the net, and was it last night you called the net, I think? And both times I checked in, you know, you acknowledged it, but everybody around me, you said, that you checked in, you said they sounded really good, and I was sitting there thinking, well, how do I sound? Because both nights he never commented, but everybody else, I just thought it was funny, and then I said, well, I wonder what my signal is like.
Well, there's some that sometimes struggle to get in, and when I notice that they are sounding much better than when they're normally on there struggling to get, like for example, Larry, KK4JBQ, he must use a handheld or something most of the time. But sometimes when he keys up and comes in, it sounds like everybody else. So I'm going to let him know, hey, that he's sounding good, because normally you got to pull him out of the scratch. But so that's the difference, is that when there's one that you know is going to come in weak, but they come in strong, I'm just going to let them know about it. But if you're typically always good, you don't get any extra points for that.
Well, I'm just giving you a hard time, but it was funny because I was like, what about my signal? How come I'm not sounding good? Because it happened the two nights in a row. It was just funny. And I'm always at the end of, I'm up there going through Gaffney or beyond and start to getting at the end when, you know, I'm hearing the repeater break in and out. So I always wanted to make sure I was doing okay.
Yeah, I never noticed any. I mean, I've never noticed a difference on you. When you must have a really good antenna on the truck.
Great. I looked it up, and it mounted where the CB antenna was. I took that off, and it's a Hustler. I think it said it had 2 dB gain, or was rated at 2 dB gain. It's just a stainless steel whip, but I've seemed to have good luck with it.
Well, does it have a really good ground plane? Has it got a lot of metal around the base?
It's mounted, let's see, there's a, I'm trying to think, it's on the back side of the cab, and there's a, like a handle, a metal handle that it's attached to, the frame, and then underneath it is the metal grate, you know, that you stand, the deck plate you stand on, or if you need to get up on the back of the truck back there. So, I mean, it's pretty far away, but it's leaning right up, or not leaning, but it's, you know, one side is right up against the cab. So whatever it is, it works pretty well.
I'm thinking, you know, all conditions are different. I'm thinking you're doing better when you're going away from the repeater than when you would be coming. If you're coming back at it, you would be shielded from it. If you're going away from it, you would, it'd be kind of like a dish being behind your antenna, concentrating the signal into the antenna. And that's probably why it sounds so good when you're leaving.
Between the, you know, the trailer is behind it. So if that were the case, and I guess it's an aluminum trailer. I don't know what they're made out of, sheet metal. So as I'm going up 85, I guess the repeater will be off to my left. But I don't ever seem to have a problem. There's a couple different repeaters. I mean, I've talked on this one all the way down past, going down to Atlanta past, oh my goodness, what's the where all the outlets are down there. And I can pick this one back up once I get into North Carolina. I can pick it up pretty well.
Well, I wonder, I'm curious now, you got my curiosity up. I wonder, what's the difference between your truck and, for example, Kevin's truck, KN4UBG, because when he's driving, it sounds like there's a whole lot going on inside that cab, really. really, really loud, and sometimes it's hard to pull his voice. I mean, the background's so high that he's got a good signal in, but the background noise is so loud that it's hard to pick his voice out of the background noise, whereas yours isn't that way. I wonder what the difference is there.
I think he drives more like a large pickup truck, and he might have his mic gain up really loud. But I noticed that this morning, too. I've noticed he didn't used to seem to have an issue. I don't know if he's done something different, but it has been harder to copy his voice. But I drive a tractor trailer, so I don't, and you know, the antenna is up higher, too. And it is a little noisier in the cab. It's not too bad. With the windows up, it's pretty quiet. I always wondered about that as well, but I'm glad the signal is readable. I've never had anybody complain.
Yeah, it is. I thought he was in the same or a similar truck that you were in. I just didn't understand what the difference. I know when sometimes, when he's at home, he's perfectly fine. There's no difference than anybody else. But when he's out traveling on working, then you can definitely tell because it's a whole lot of snow in there. It's like he's in a blizzard is what it sounds like. But yours, it must be kind of quiet in there. I notice sometimes when Jim checks in, I can't remember his call. Jim that checks in via EchoLink, you can hear a lot of noise inside his cab as well.
Cell phone on the EchoLink, that probably picks up, a lot of cell phones pick up background noises really easily. I heard his wipers one night, they were going full speed while he was talking.
KW4TS. It took me a little while to figure that out. Yeah, you can usually hear a lot in his, too. So I guess it's just different. And I guess some people ride with the window down or something like that, which will make a huge difference.
Surprised Kevin hasn't popped in here. Figured his ears were burning. But, yeah, his signal definitely has gotten worse as far as being able to copy his voice. There is a lot of noise. It almost sounds like he's down in a tunnel or in a tin can, too. Almost.
Left a little break in there in case he was trying to get in and we were keying up too soon. But I don't know, maybe he did say something about some plate that's behind him in the truck that's made out of fiberglass. Maybe that's a difference too. Maybe that lets a lot more audible noise from the truck come through.
Oh, well, I've been wanting to ask you that question. I'm glad my signal's good. I try to make a good, clean install and make sure everything works. So, like I said, I've never had any complaints. And there's a repeater in Greensboro that I've talked to a couple guys on when I'm up there, and they, I can pick that up below Charlotte. I can start hearing it. I can't really. There's a couple places on 485 where I can get into it briefly, but I can listen to it all the way from below Charlotte.
When I used to go to Charlotte every day, I used that 145.35. Have you ever used that one?
I haven't actually picked up anything in Charlotte. I know I think there's something around the 8.2 and the 9.4, but I haven't really investigated it because I'm usually listening to a podcast or something through that time. I kind of have my little routine I've gotten into.
Yeah, that 9.4, you've got to get into Charlotte. I think it's on a building somewhere in Charlotte. It's not that high up. But the 3.5, I don't know. It's like on a tower somewhere. And it'll get you all the way down to close to the state line. So I used to just switch over from this repeater to the 3.5 repeater and carry that all the way into where I got into Charlotte. When I went under the Billy Graham Park or Billy Graham Bridge, on 85, I would switch over to the 9.4, and I'd take that the rest of the way in to downtown because you really couldn't get the 9.4 very, very, very dependable. But the 3.5 worked really good.
That one, maybe try it out tonight. Another thing, too, my antenna on the work vehicle is up. Probably the base of it is up maybe 8-9 feet. That's, you know, where it starts. It goes all the way just above the top of the fairing on the top of the tractor.
Does it go much over the top, like a foot or two, or like 5 or 6 feet above the top?
That may be a couple inches. So so. And the fairing is all fiberglass. I believe it should be fiberglass.
Well, that's surprising that you get in that good, because it gets in good. It sounds just like I'm talking to you now. And well, I've never noticed a huge difference. Anyway, you do have a good signal, even though I haven't told you. I guess I'll have to mark that down in my logbook to let Shane know his signal strength when he gets in next time. One time I was pumping gas here. I had to fill up my tank every other day because I drove 100 miles there, 100 miles back every day. So 2 days you hit 400 miles and my car didn't go 400 miles. It went like 380 miles or something like that. So I was filling up my car here in Greer before I left to go to work one day, and I had left the radio on 3.5. And this buddy that I worked with, he got on that repeater a lot. There was a bunch of ham radio operators in Charlotte, and one of them was one that I worked with. So I'm sitting there in Greer pumping gas, and I hear him come across my radio, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, that doesn't usually happen until I hit the state line if I left it on that frequency when I got out the previous night. And sure enough, when I finished getting gas, I went in there and gave him a call, and I was direct into the 3.5 from Greenville all the way to Charlotte on a mobile. Had to be some ducting going on there or something.
Good. I've heard things happen every once in a while. I heard a signal, goodness, it was the early 90s. And it was either California or Hawaii, and I don't know for sure, but it came across the repeater. That's where the guy claimed he was. And I can't remember exactly which one. Either one would be great. So, but it was brief. It wasn't very long.
That's like the guy down in, not St. Thomas Island, but not the Virgin Islands, St. Thomas Island, but a St. Thomas Island that is off the coast of South Carolina. That guy used to, I guess he had a beam. He lived on the island off the coast of South Carolina, Tom's Island, Thomas Island, something like that. And every Sunday morning, really early in the morning, he'd hit this repeater direct from there. I mean, like clockwork. And you could talk to him for a little while. And, you know, then 1 minute, he's there. And then the next minute, he's totally gone. Nobody can talk to him again. But that was pretty cool.
That would be interesting. And by the way, I'm not to make you self-conscious or anything about that signal, my signal report. I find it curious. I listen a lot. And I remember Robert, you know, he had that. He always sounded the same until he got a new headset. He had a little different sound, but I heard him in his mobile one time, and I thought, man, that's completely different from the way he sounds at home. So I was always curious as to if there was as much of a difference in the two radios that I'm usually on, either in this, my personal truck or my work truck. But it sounds like they might be very similar.
Well, there is a little used feature on this repeater that you can, if you're curious about stuff like that, you can use it. And if more people start using it, maybe more people will get comfortable with it. But you can turn on the parrot and with the DTMF tone. It's like, I don't know what the number is now, but it's like 1 pound or something like that. I can go look it up. And it tells you I'm not using it either. I'm as guilty as everybody else. But you can hit 1 pound and the parrot will come on. And then you can talk, and when you key up, when you let off the key, it'll repeat back to you what you said, and so you can hear what you sound like. And then to turn it off, you just hit a pound and send it in, and you'll hear it repeat that pound you used to turn it off, so it echoes it back to you before it turns it off, but then it won't happen again after you send in a pound. But if you're curious, you could do that with the two different radios, and you would know yourself what you sound like.
An interesting feature. I didn't even realize that was on there. Like you said, I don't think I've ever heard anybody use it. So that's pretty cool. I don't know. I might not. I'm not. I like what I sound, or I'm used to what I sound like when I hear myself, like right now. But when I hear myself recorded, I kind of, that's what I sound like. But I think everybody does that.
I know I do that. I don't like listening to myself recorded at all. I think it sounds awful, but I guess that's just human nature.
We all know people who love the way they sound, so they love a lot about themselves, and that can be unnerving too.
That's one of the reasons I'm trying not to do a lot of reporting and give out announcements and stuff like that, because You know, it doesn't take much. People get tired of hearing your voice.
That's presented. You get tired of people who think highly of their own selves, but, I mean, you're just who you are. That's how we know you, so it's not a problem at all. I do have one question, though. Did you record your announcement from the other night and then play it back last night?
So everything gets recorded on here. It's been that way for 10 years. Everything gets recorded. So what I did was, instead of having to think it all up again and say it all again and then give out conflicting information from one night to the next, I went to yesterday's day before yesterday's recording, and I just cut out that piece of it and just plopped it in. There's a directory that you can put it in, announcements, news updates or something like that. And then you just send a DTMF tone, and it'll play that. And so I figured if I'm going to be doing that every night this week so that everybody can hear it, then I'll just send it, and it'll be a consistent message. It won't be changing from night to night.
And spoil a secret, but I was listening to it last night, and I thought, man, he did that exactly how he did it a couple nights ago. He's really good.
And no, it's because I'm not that good that I did it that way.
I picked up on it, and I figured, well, Dave, I think your radio's on your computer, I think I heard you say. I said, if anybody would do that, I bet he's got the capability, and that's pretty time-saving, voice-saving as well.
Yeah, I was talking to the other guys in the repeater committee about doing that for announcements, and one of the things that came up is you can do that. The FCC allows you to do that, but you have to have a control operator at the site when you're doing that. So what I was thinking about doing when I ran it by them is, the first time I ran it by them, and they corrected me, rightfully so, is setting it up so that it gives out the announcements at a certain time of the day every day, so everybody can always be up to date on the announcements. But one of the things in the FCC rules is that it has to be initiated by a control operator. You can do it if it's initiated by a control operator. So the next step is make it so that anybody, any control operator, can pull up what's the current announcement list, and at any time that they so choose. So that's been added. Haven't published that yet, but there is a capability to send in a DTMF tone, and it'll tell you what the current announcements are.
Fancy on this repeater. I like that. N4ZLK.
W4DJW. The capability, the window of capabilities opens up significantly when we go off of the hardware-defined repeater controller to the software-defined repeater controller. That transition just opens up huge windows of opportunity.
I know you were testing a new repeater a few weeks ago, but I think this was back to the original, or the one that was up before. How long has this one been up there, and is it the same one? You just, like you said, now it's a software-defined?
Well, the one we're talking on right now is the original hardware-defined controller. It's a Cat 250, which is kind of popular, but it's old, right? I don't even know if you can buy them anymore. But the repeater is even older than that, and you can't buy them anymore. So we're back on that. We've left this one, the prototype for the new software-defined controller, we left that online for 2 weeks during the holidays so that if something went wrong, we could all rally up there at the site and fix it real quick. When everybody had to go back to work, it came back down. And we added what we knew that we... So when we first decided to put it up there, one of the tasks was to get internet up there to it so that we could log into it and monitor it and make any course corrections as necessary right there on the spot. What we found out when we got it up there is that, no, you're not going to have internet access up there. Every avenue was a dead end. So we brought it back down after the holidays, and nobody was available to go up there and fix it if it broke, to add what was missing if we didn't have internet connectivity. And that's been added, so it can go back up there now. But before it goes back up there, we're going to use it for training. purposes, get everybody trained up on it and how it works. That's what Saturday's class is about, for new net controllers or existing net controllers and the repeater committee to learn all about how to use it and get comfortable with it before we take it back up there and leave it. And even then, it won't be the permanent repeater. It's just a prototype that is used to develop new capabilities. And if we like the prototype good enough, then the club will purchase an implementation of that, which will go up there, and we'll keep the prototype for continued development. W4DJW.
Guys do, and keeping that going. I know it's time consuming, and I know you enjoy that, but still got to take a lot of time out of your schedule. It's more time than I would be able to do, and plus I don't know a lot of that. I wouldn't mind, you know, doing grunt work, but I know that's a lot of, you guys put a lot of work into it, and I really appreciate it.
And recognizing Al, KI4MLN, he's in there. He just joined. It is, and I had a window of opportunity in the business that I'm in. When you get close to the end of the year, things really taper off, right? So I had a whole bunch of opportunity at the end of last year. But when you get into this part of the year we're in right now, everything starts to pick back up again. So I don't know that I'm going to have as much time as I had when we developed this as I had then. I'm not going to have that much time going forward again because it's starting to pick back up again. Go ahead, Al, W4DJW.
Yeah, Carl, you guys were talking about phasing those antennas and dropping one down, you know, and phasing the two antennas up there. That's going to be a smart idea. And I think I found out there's an issue out here. I got some of my antennas. As soon as I can get on the tower outside, it'll help. But hopefully you're hearing me okay.
I'll make sure I got it. Yeah, you sound good now. I know you've had sometimes it's a little scratchy in the mornings. I've heard you a couple times. But anyway, Dave, Al, I'm pulling into the parking lot, so I'm going to go ahead and take this opportunity to clear. I appreciate it. Good talking to you, Dave. Al, good to hear you. Hope you have a good evening, and we'll talk to both of you later. N4ZLK.
Okay, Shane, well, have a good trip tonight. Be safe out there on the highway. Good talking to you. And you do have a good signal, by the way. And Al, yeah, that's what you're talking about. That's in the to-do list, but it comes after getting the hardware in place to support all of that. So the first thing you got to do is get the infrastructure. And they had the infrastructure all built, just ready to mount it. And then they made modifications to the tower. That means that a few of those pieces of infrastructure have to be modified to fit the new modifications that are on the tower. They put a heavier antenna on the tower, which meant they had to beef up the tower, which meant their support's going where they weren't going before, which means we have to re-engineer the clamps that hold the coax for the second antenna. Well, it's not coax. It's like almost hard line. It's between hard line and coax. But there's some work to be done there before the second antenna goes up.
And that also means that you're going to have all the connections properly done, and you can't have any RF in anything. And okay, so that makes sense. I thought that's what was going on because it made sense to me. What I did temporarily is I grounded the power supply right to the. I've got some issues here. I grounded the power supply right to the. Where the antenna's grounded in here. And I found out that it's something external in here around fluorescent lights or something, even though it's on the ledges. So I don't have any way to find it, but no, you're right. That's going to be a lot of work.
And it has to be done at a time when it is safe to climb. And during the winter when the wind is blowing and it's cold and you can get rain showers pop up or snow or something like that, it's just not safe to do it at that time. Better to be working on the other stuff during that time of the year.
You can get a workable situation for now. And I realize that every repeater calls hard. It's real fast. And I also understand to run more power, you're going to have to do. That's also going to be a little bit tricky because you're going to have to do different controllers for 8.2 and it's going to take quite a bit to do. It's not something that's going to be simple.
Yeah, that's another whole list of things. So there's lots of lists with lots of things to be done on it. We've got plenty of job security for the next 30 years I don't think we're all going to live that long, but there's plenty of stuff on the to-do list for that. But we are going to do a temporary solution before we go with the permanent solution for linking to 8.2, I think. And I think that's the plan now anyway. It could change. W4DJW.
The tone situation, too, and I found out even old transmitters, you can build tone boards to solve that problem. So it's doable even old transmitters. You can do it. I haven't had a chance to build one, but I'm in just a situation with Dave, too, with voltmeters and with my work situation. I found out the government is going to mandate at work, and I talked to some people in the field, and they're going to. I talked to the president of the National Federation of Light, and he said, please work on this stuff before you die. We need your help. I said, okay.
Well, that plan, that's part of the plan, too. Is to eventually, we know eventually that's going to have to happen, but only when it gets to that point, right, will that the turning a tone on. The longer we can go without one, the better, but we all understand that eventually at some point we're going to have to turn that thing on.
You're going to have to, but I think it's doable. I really think we can, by moving antennas around, doing certain things, we can solve it for the most part.
And the plan there is to give plenty of upfront notice so people know that it's going to happen long before it happens, and they have plenty of time to get prepared.
But, I looked into building tone boards, and it's easy to do. It's not that hard to do, I don't think. So you can still do that. I just haven't built one. I have to do some research on one and try it.
That's true for those radios that you really like and you don't want to give up, even though there's almost all the radios that are on the market today already have them built into it. So there's a couple of options there. Get a new radio or... if you really like your radio, you just want to keep it, add a tone board to it.
See, what I like about analog stuff is it always works. And sometimes it's a good idea to have that backup. That's the, and I know that's Ray's issue with it, and I agree. But some people, you're right, and it's hard to, but I'll tell you, David, you know, with me messing around with this one, when you don't have somebody trying to program this stuff, it's almost impossible.
Yeah, you need something like a, reset this to that mode. A button that says, this is my reset back to normal in case something gets out of whack.
I talked to one of the SEC when they didn't know I was my call. Expired when someone stole my call sign, my license and stuff. I didn't remember it. And I talked to one, and she said, oh, yeah, a couple times I was transmitted somewhere, I don't know where. And we just started laughing.
Well, Al, I finished working a few minutes ago. Nobody's pinged me in about a half hour. I think I'm safe to get up and leave and go downstairs and get something to eat. I've been batching it for 3 days. My wife's been out in Raleigh. Her sister had a heart attack, and she's getting better now, so she'll be returning tomorrow. But me and the cat and the dog have been batching it for 3 days. We haven't left the house except for to go to the mailbox. But I think it's about the end of my work day now at about 7:30, which is about normal. So I'm going to go downstairs and get something to eat.
My cat was driving nuts. I got to get someone to help you in the store tomorrow. And, I went and helped Danny a little bit. I went up to the woods up there where that car is. You went by, my Ray's up there, Ray Allison's up there in the woods. That thing is in the woods, man. I figured out how to get the engine up for parts we need. But, man, I was climbing over stumps.
I'm not familiar with that situation, Al.
And our car was up by Ray's up there, and we had to go, he needed a hand to figure out how to get the engine out, so I told him what we had to do, and we didn't have enough tools to get it out, and this Ford Explorer's way up in the woods up in there, and I'm climbing over stuff. Oh, God, I didn't realize how far up there in the woods he really is.
And you're referring to Danny. Danny who?
What's his call? KJ4 WZM. Danny up there. He I was helping him figure out how to get an engine out. He had parts up there. So we're going to go back and try when the weather gets a little better.
Okay, Daniel. I know him as Daniel. That's what threw me off. That's what I couldn't get. I couldn't put the pieces together. I know who you're talking about now. All right, well, I'm going to head downstairs and get something to eat. Good talking to you, Al. KI4MLN, W4DJW.
Doing better, she's doing okay. I tell you, I've got heart issues myself, and man, it is no fun. Cat 473s. I'll catch up with you later.